Hello and welcome to Formation, a conversation for followers of Jesus. My name is Shannon Moore and I'm here with
Renee Hoke
and
Carol Watts.
We are going through this book by, remind me of his name,
Esau Macaulay,
entitled simply Lent. We've been going through this for several weeks. Last week we talked about Holy Week. We had, there's four big days that we consider during Holy Week from the week before Easter up through Easter. Last week we talked about Palm Sunday, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, people laying palms, and then the Thursday of that week that we call Maundy Thursday, based on the word commandment, Jesus commanded us to love one another, where we celebrate communion, the Lord's Supper, and also foot washing. We had a little conversation about that. So today we're going to look at Good Friday. What do you think when you think Good Friday? Anything come to mind?
I always hear, why do they call it Good Friday? It was such a terrible day.
I remember asking my mother that exact question when I was a child. It didn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense.
How did your mom answer it?
Well, she said that Jesus did, something very good on that day, even though he was killed on that day, that it was something good, but it still didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. I think sometimes some of the most creative worship services I've been a part of have had to do with Good Friday. It seems, I think, that people who love designing worship try really hard to capture the agony of the cross and the significance of those final minutes in Jesus' life. And so I have a collection of memories of some very moving worship services in my head when I think of Good Friday.
So when we think of everything that happened on quote unquote Good Friday, Jesus had been arrested. He had been tried, quote unquote, tried. I'm saying quote unquote a lot for some reason today. I'm going to stop doing that. But it wasn't a fair trial.
Right.
He was being tricked, and in some of the gospel stories, people had, been coerced into testifying against him. He's asked straight away if he's the Messiah, and no matter how he answers that question, he's either a liar or a blasphemer. There's no different path for him at this point. We have that night before Peter denying him. And then we have the horrible, there's Jesus before Pilate, who has the opportunity to let him go. The people say, don't let him go, let somebody else go. And then this horrible trek to the cross and the subject of so many movies, stories, plays. And I do think some of those have been successful at touching, to see that story played out. But it also, I remember being completely terrified as a child at an Easter play. And I think I've shared this before, walking out of the church and seeing the cross, later in the week, the cross that they used in the play hanging up, just leaning up against the fellowship hall. And I just burst into tears. And the guy who played Jesus, I was scared of him for a couple of years after, because there's... I had seen this thing. Mm-hmm. I'm interested how you deal with Good Friday with children.
I think it's a matter of just talking about it. Here are the events of the day. It's hard. It's that idea of how do we... The events of the day, I think, are less problematic when talking with children than some of the meaning that we give to it. There are lots of different ideas, but kind of atonement theory can be really kind of damaging for kids who aren't ready for that.
Say more about what that means, atonement theory.
That Jesus had to die in order for us to live, essentially. And that all of our sins were taken in that moment. And so there's a lot of theory and different understandings around that. that specific idea, something that came kind of much later. It's not
that God required.
That God required, yes. And so for me, talking about what we see in the scripture and talking about that honestly for kids that are in the right, you know, age range and able to have those conversations is important. And so that they recognize, what did the scripture say? And then what do we think about it? What do they think about it? And what is some of the context and some of the history behind, you know, what just a broader perspective of what all of this means, so that they can begin to make their decisions about who God is, who Jesus is, in the midst of that as they approach Easter. But it's not something, I mean, kids do, it's a violent story, and kids want to know. We've been talking about this Jesus who loves us. What just happened?
Right.
And so it's a complex thing to do, so that children know that they're loved, and don't feel guilty about, you know, did Jesus do that? You know, that can be a really scary thing. Jesus had to do that for me.
And there are lots of talking points that are sort of catchphrases in Christianity. And one of those is Jesus died for our sins. Mm-hmm. Jesus died for you and me. And do you think you've led churches and certainly taught lots of classes and led adults through seasons of faith? Do you think that sometimes adults get stuck in what they learned as a kid? We don't grow much past at this, in particular, this lesson.
I think that's
very simplified down to that one sentence.
The theology around Good Friday and Easter Sunday, I think it's held very close, and I think we have to tread carefully when we introduce another possibility where crucifixion is concerned. What could it could be this? It could be that. I think that's held on. That feels threatening to people who have been taught this is what happened on Good Friday.
Yeah.
And this is why it had to happen. So I always think we have to cautiously consider another way of understanding that. And one of the other ways that I think is gaining in popularity now is that Jesus, throughout his public ministry, spoke truth to power. And that's always a dangerous thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a threat to the Roman Empire.
And to the religious
and
leaders.
To those in power. And so his execution was to rid them of a threat, mm-hmm. Possible overthrow of the government.
Or
by the followers of Jesus. So
or the religious structure.
Right.
Both.
Yeah. And I find it so interesting that I feel like this is the one of the few things maybe in scripture that we try to make. We try to know completely. You know what I mean? Mm. There's so much about our faith that we allow to be a mystery, and that is the faith, and that is the beauty of the divine. But this Good Friday, we want to know exactly why it happened and exactly, you know, and so much is in that, you know, and so knowing the scripture and walking through that is important, and also leaving some space for the mystery and that it is the beginning of these 3 days before we enter, you know,
it's a very complex story.
It's so hard.
There are lots of different ways of understanding it. I think you're right. One of the things that I love to do during Holy Week, let me just say quickly, is to get on the internet, Google images, and to look at sacred art that illustrates each of these events that we talk about in Holy Week. And sometimes more contemporary art. I mean, there's wonderful classic art, but there are some contemporary artists now who are just, I can sit and look, consider, meditate on a piece of art about Jesus with the disciples gathered around him. Mm-hmm. Or there's a wonderful piece of art on Good Friday where it's as if we are seeing through Jesus' eyes the crowd around the foot of the cross. And that's very powerful. Mm-hmm. So I just have found a different angle, a different style gives me some time to kind of ponder these stories and as you said, not take one single meaning from it, mm-hmm. but many different meanings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I love that. When at the moment of Jesus' death, we're told that he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Renee, will you read from Psalm 22, please?
Yes. The first verse of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest.
I think it's really interesting mm-hmm. that almost word for word, Jesus used the words from this psalm written long before he was born. I have a mentor who's now gone on. When I mentioned that to him, a longtime minister, he said, I don't believe Jesus was quoting Hebrew poetry on the cross. But I have always wondered if the scriptures were so ingrained in mm-hmm, him mm-hmm. that he was relying on scripture to reveal how he felt at that yeah. at that moment. I don't know. What do you think? Is it coincidence? Is it?
I think that just as if lots of times now, when there's been another mass shooting, people gather and they sing Amazing Grace. It just is spontaneous way of soothing something that's really painful. Maybe Psalm 22 for Jesus' mm-hmm. day and time was a psalm that were words that came to mind in much the same way, you know, that the people of faith would have. And Jesus, perhaps, is just having his own meditation, not communicating that to the people who've gathered around the cross, mm-hmm. but soothing himself, reminding himself with familiar words, do you think?
I like that a lot, especially the Amazing Grace connection. Even people who don't
right.
go to church, many of them
join
know
in that
Amazing
song,
Grace.
Yes.
I like that's a great point, Renee. Thank you. Carrie, will you read the prayer that mm-hmm. our author shared with us for yes. the end of Good Friday?
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we pray you to set your passion, cross, and death between your judgment and our souls, now and in the hour of our death. Give mercy and grace to the living, pardon and rest to the dead, to your holy church, peace and concord, and to us sinners, everlasting life and glory. For with the Father and Holy Spirit, you live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen.
That's beautiful.
That's a beautiful. And sometimes when I hear prayers like this from the Episcopal Church, those words.
You think you're going to cross over?
Maybe I should cross over.
Yeah, they've got some good prayers, those people.
They really do. And to hear, you're going to hear that every
right.
year at Good
right.
Friday. There's no
you count on it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Grandma heard it, and Great Grandpa mm-hmm. heard it. I just love
sacred words.
I love that yeah. sacred words. Real quickly, because there's not a lot to say, is Holy Saturday.
Right.
Once Jesus dies on the cross. We have this time between Good Friday and sunrise service on Easter morning. And our author says it's a time to rest. I think in our culture, it's a time for Easter egg hunts. And
especially
cleaning,
if you work
and
at
especially
the church.
If you work at a church.
You fit a lot of stuff in on
it's
that Saturday.
Cleaning,
not much rest.
Getting ready.
The sanctuary and doing lots of stuff.
Right.
But he says there's nothing to do. Mm. On Holy Saturday, but wait. Will you read what he shares with us from Psalm 88, these three questions?
Do you show your wonders to the dead? Do their spirits rise up and praise you? Is your love declared in the grave, your faithfulness in destruction? Mm. Those are really...
And then what does he say immediately after that?
The Christian may say that God's reply is yes, but the psalmist is pressing ultimate questions during a time of real pain and sorrow.
Right. And so I think what all of this tells us is that from Palm Sunday to washing feet to Jesus' death, that it, life is messy. Mm-hmm. And we try to sanitize things as much as we can. You know, I've been to services where we washed hands instead of washed feet because it's cleaner. But sometimes life is not clean and tidy.
Right.
And faith is not clean and tidy. And this Holy Week reminds us of the messiness of life, mm-hmm. and some of the horrible things that we can do to each other. And yet, on the other side of that is this amazing victory that God promises to us, that no, through all of that, through death, through sadness, through messiness, through blood, through all of it, that there is new life. It's such an important, just wonderful stuff.
I hope we can always allow the words in hymns and scripture to take us by surprise as we move through the days in Holy Week, mm-hmm. and not assume, oh, well, I know what that's about.
Right.
Let it be whatever it needs to be in
that
moment.
Holy Week again.
Yeah. Right. Find something that renews our spirits and moves us mm-hmm. in a different direction. Will you read what he says, that sentence beginning, we can be at peace?
Yes. We can be at peace because God reigns even over the death that unnerves us. We end Lent with the confidence that all will be well.
Amen.
All right. Well, that takes us through Holy Week and the end of this series. I hope that you have enjoyed going through this book with us, whether or not you got the book. Maybe you enjoyed the conversations and little foolishness from time to time.
Just a little. I think we've all decided we really like this book and we can recommend it, right?
Absolutely can recommend this book. Because it's a different sort of a different take mm-hmm. than we're accustomed to, especially here in our tradition. So hope that you have a wonderful Easter, a meaningful Holy Week before you get to Easter. And we will see you soon. If you would like to see more of us, have suggestions for topics that we could discuss on formation, let us know. formation@ucccftw.com. Till next time, take care.